90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. This week, we're in our third week of our series on wills and beneficiary deeds, life insurance, funerals, and trust. This week's series is about a topic that people rarely want to talk about that we definitely need to have a conversation about. We're going to be talking about funerals, and our guests today are Michael Atkins and Daryl Brooks, and they're from Serenity Memorial Chapel. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Daryl. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you tell us a little bit, Michael, can you briefly tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm a Kansas City native. I graduated from Southwest High School. Went to college and University of Central Oklahoma in Edmond, Oklahoma to study funeral service.
And Daryl, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, again, I'm originally from the middle part of the state, Columbia, Missouri. Been in Kansas City now a little over 40 years, about 35 years in general business and IT. Got into the death care industry in the mid-90s, found it to be a rewarding career, so I've stuck. So worked at a lot of places. I've covered the Cemetery Avenue, the Casket Avenue, now funeral homes.
So, Michael, you are new on the scene as far as Serenity Memorial Chapels, but you're not new to Kansas City. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your history and where you've worked in Kansas City?
Yes, I was at Lawrence A. Jones for 18 years before launching Serenity Memorial Chapel in 2015.
What made you decide to work into the funeral industry? It's an industry, it's a topic that people don't want to talk about. Many people will not plan about, but it's something that we're all going to transition one day.
Yes, when I was younger, I had like three or four family members pass back to back, and it kind of triggered and something in my mind that what's going on here. So I became kind of interested in death in it. And so when I went to high school, I had a counselor who cared, and we kind of, you know, talked about what I would like to do in the future. And through our conversation, the death care industry came up. So she reached out and did some research and found different schools and found the University of Central Oklahoma. And next thing you know, I was doing a college visit. Next thing you know, my mom was dropping me off at college.
That is the great job of a counselor, to steer a student into the industry or career field where they want to be. And I know that's a lot of that's missing today, but it's one of those situations that, you know, you had a teacher and somebody who cared enough and listened to you to help you get to the career field where you want to be. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, about 6,700 people each day transition in the United States. Michael, what is the cost of a typical funeral?
Typical, you're looking right around $7,000 for an average, you know, average full service funeral.
Why is it important to let your wishes be known or to write them down for your loved ones during that time?
Before death, you can actually have a voice. After death, everyone is basically wondering. If you put it to them and let them know what you want beforehand, you can take care of your business and get things in order, and it's not a rush burden at the time of need.
And there's so much stress at that time. I know I had the honor, my uncle passed away, but I had the honor of doing all the planning, and there's so much things that I was impacted, but I was also critical thinking about different things. And there's a lot that people tossing at you at that time, and family members sometimes are not getting along together because one person may want the oak casket and another one may want this, but you also have to look at the type of person, what they might have wanted, but also if you look at budget, also what budget drives the vehicle, unfortunately, in that situation. There are multiple types of funeral services. Let's briefly talk about what is a funeral service.
Funeral itself is basically what, you know, the service after death. So, I mean, you have the cremation, you have the actual full service with burial. So, I mean, you can do a memorial service without the body present, or a funeral service with the body present.
And you talked about a memorial service, but what is a committed or a graveside service? How does that differ from a funeral or memorial service?
Graveside service is just that. You take the loved one to the graveside, and you do all of everything any words of comfort, everything is done there at the graveside.
Why is it important to have a service regardless of the type of service you choose?
It's a reflection of your loved one's life. You're actually paying homage to your loved one. I feel like everyone deserves a service, whether it's a cremation or traditional burial. I think it's a form of closure. It gives everyone's loved one a form of closure to have that service to kind of put them to rest.
Why, during this time of stress and sadness and loss, people don't know what to do, where to begin, where should they begin at that point in time in service?
Well, and that goes back to knowing exactly what your loved one wanted. If you know what they wanted, that kind of steers you to fulfill their wishes. So at that time, you have to think about who in the funeral industry do you have a relationship with, if anyone, and kind of reach out to them and let them guide you along the process of what needs to be done from the point of passing, and hopefully they stick out with you even after passing. Even after the service, I mean.
I know a lot of people, the family's always went to a certain provider in town. Is there, if we're going to buy a car, we go to multiple different places to check on the price of a car. You know, if we're going to buy a cell phone, we're going to find out which provider is the best for us. When it comes to a funeral, should we also check around to see what one funeral home will offer different from another funeral home?
You have that right. The families I deal with are families I've dealt with as long as I've been in the industry. So we have a rapport, relationship, and they know that it's about the service with me. I'm available to them 24 hours a day. I don't have working hours. I provide a service, and when you're going through a situation, I'm available to you.
I know we're going to talk about funerals today from two aspects, the at-need and the pre-need. Michael, what is at-need funeral planning?
At-need is right now. If anything that deals with right now, if your loved one has passed today, you're at-need. If your loved one is in transitioning stage, you're still at the pre-need stages.
So if a person may be in, I know we... Unfortunately, we use Aretha Franklin. She died intestate without a will and different things. If you have a loved one that is in hospice, is it too soon to start planning and start asking those questions?
No, never too soon. I believe the sooner you ask them while they're coherent, you can get everything in order.
What... I know, as we said earlier, a funeral can cost about $7,000. What options are there for an individual that may not have any life insurance, or they may not have any funds? We look at GoFundMe, and there's always somebody, tragically after the Branson accident, the family put out a GoFundMe to help with funeral expenses. What options farther for families that may not have any life insurance, because we look at right now, usually it was the elderly that passed earlier and they may not have. But now in today's society, we're seeing infants, babies, children. A lot of our next generation is dying from violence and gunshots, and families in that situation are left to try to figure out what to do. What can a family do in that situation when they don't have any funds or limited funds?
They first must realize that they have to live beyond that point. So the most economical form of disposition is cremation. Cremation is not frowned upon like it was years ago. It's a form of disposition and it's cost effective. You can always cremate your loved one and have a memorial service. A memorial service, again, is without the body present. So you can have a memorial. You don't need the funeral home to have a memorial service. You can think about your loved one's life. If your loved one loved the park, go to the park, have a memorial service, talk about your loved one, and get that closure you need.
What, when we're talking cremation, do you have to have a casket for cremation, or what type of container would be used for the body in that situation? I know in some cases, if you have a funeral, you require a casket, but what about cremation?
With the cremation, I mean, the minimum is basically a cardboard container. So, like I say, you know, when you think of that, you think of cost. So, I mean, that keeps it minimum. They do have cremation caskets. You can view your loved one in a casket and cremate everything.
So, I know, as you said, yes, cremation is on the rise, but when people think about it now, what are the other costs that you have to do when you have a cremation? I know you've seen in some places, you know, $895 cremation, and then it can go up. I've seen in places that said, well, you know, it's $3,000. What's the average cost for cremation in this area?
Ooh, in this area, I haven't done the numbers in this area, but I think it's demographics. In the inner city, you're going to deal with $895, and when you start going into the suburbs, that's when you get up to the $3,000 for the same exact service.
Is there any difference in the services that you may get at one provider versus another, other than the cost?
It's we're in the service industry, so I would not think that it would be different on the service, because a lot of us, you know, we use the same crematorium. We outsource to the same crematorium, so it's just a matter of the different facilities and the different firms.
I know in the situation, back to what we were saying, if you don't have any life insurance or any funds, are there any organizations that may assist with funeral cost?
Yes. It's some different organizations out there. I mean, you have I'm trying to think of
crime victim.
Yeah, well, if there's a homicide, you have the Crime Victims Compensation Program. You do have some local individual organizations. You have Mama on a Mission, Mothers in Charge. You have Corey's Network. You know, those are some organizations you have I work with on a regular to assist with some of the services.
So, and unfortunately, crime in our city is violently on the rise, and 156 murders last year. So a lot of those people then that were victims of crime, homicide, would have qualified for the Victims Compensation Fund through the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office.
Yeah, and that the crime victims is it's a process. Everyone does not automatically qualify. It has to go before review, and it's a process, and that's the reason funeral homes use it as a compensation, a reimbursement piece, because it could be a year, some up to 2 years before they, decide to either accept or deny the claim.
I know I was watching Fox 4 this morning, and a mother lost her 2-year-old child. Are there any special programs for if a parent loses a child, you know, say under the age of 10, or an infant that, you know, passed away in the hospital shortly after birth? Are there programs that help parents during that time?
There are some programs out there. I know Children's Mercy, they have a fund, that they've assisted with funeral expenses for, you know, babies. But unfortunately, you know, babies are one of those things that you don't deal with on a regular. It happens, but you don't deal with it on a regular to keep those programs in mind. So you have to kind of do some research and kind of ask around. But I'm sure there's organizations out there that would assist in, you know, the funeral expenses for a baby.
What should families look for when they're choosing a funeral home for help them with the disposition of the loved one?
Once again, this is the service industry, so you have to look at the firm that's going to give you the best service and not so much focus on the amount of money you spend. It doesn't matter if you're paying $895 for a cremation or $80,000 for a full service. You should feel like you're valued.
Excuse me. So, during this time, what is the role of the funeral director to help the family in that process?
The funeral director, once you make that initial call, the funeral director guides you on what needs to be done. If you call and say, I lost a loved one and they're at the hospital, that's the funeral director has to guide you from that point to inform you, hey, okay, let them know you want to release your loved one to our firm. You give them your number, your direct number, so if they have any questions at any time, they can reach you. You know, just be there for them.
I know when my uncle passed away, he went to somebody that we use as our family, and I called him up and let him know they passed, and they were there, and he kept me apprised of in the process of what was going on, where we were at in that situation. So I definitely, and as you said, you're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People will call you just if they've got questions or if they're feeling some way. So I think for us, that was one of the great things, was having that funeral director who answered all the questions during the initial sit down, and, you know, made us feel a comfort and ease during that time of stress. When in the process should a family start to look at talking about money with the funeral director?
Money should come up at the end, after you get everything out there, all the wishes. Money should definitely be discussed at the end. You don't know what to talk about as far as a financial piece if you don't hear what the family wants. So I never go into a consultation saying, all right, it costs this. I like to talk to my families and see what their wishes are.
And then at that point in time, once they see what that would cost, if it's either in their budget or out of the budget, things that they can look at, you know, well, we can add this or substitute that and kind of go from there?
Yes, and that's the role of the funeral director. If the family has a particular budget, okay, well, if you want this, well, let's do this, you know, just kind of help them, you know, keep them where they want to be or less than.
Should the family take a trusted friend or other family member in the process to help them plan the service, but also to take notes? Because sometimes there's so many things that they're being said to you that you may miss a lot of it in doing that process.
Yes. A lot of times you would... family bring their pastors in, someone that's going to be attentive to the business. A lot of times families are grieving, they're kind of there, they're not, so you need that strong person to be able to listen, write those notes down, and remember what's discussed, to hold that funeral director accountable for what they've discussed. So when you get home, that price hasn't increased $3,000 extra because, you know.
How important is it to ask for a written quote so that you know the cost of the items, what's included, And then those items that may be additional cost.
You can always, if you're in that office, I suggest putting something on paper so you can always have something to go back and look at and go from. You can always change it at a later time. Either you can add to it or take away, but definitely need to get something written down on so you can have it and look at it maybe after you get home and you have your thoughts together. You can go back and look at it and say, well, maybe I don't need this, or maybe I want to add this.
I know. Go ahead, Daryl. You have a question?
Yeah, and in addition to what Mike was saying, we also are required by FTC, Federal Trade Commission, to provide you with a general price list that lists all the pricing of the items in that discussion that he was talking about in the arrangement room. the individuals have the ability to not only see all of the items and their associated costs, but those that are frozen when you would do a pre-need in that instance, but those that are absolutely necessary. And then there are some ancillary products that people may want to get involved with, and there's a whole listing of those. So not only is it a good idea, it is required of us to provide you with that information.
Okay. It's definitely good information to know. So, Michael, I know embalming can be sometimes a costly part of the process, you know, in some cases up to $700. Does a family have to have the loved one embalmed, say if they're going to do cremation, or when is embalming mandatory?
No, if you're going to do a cremation, you do not have to have the embalming. The embalming is if you're going to have a public viewing. If you're going to have just a direct cremation, embalming is not required. And if you're going to have a direct burial within 24 hours, embalming is not required.
Okay, so that's a $700 cost that if you're going to have it cremated, and you don't have to worry about that, including that. What does the embalming process do?
The embalming process disinfects and temporarily preserves the body to give the family time to have the funeral service.
I know we were talking about, you just mentioned it. So if a family's having a one-day service, they can ask to have their loved one refrigerated instead of embalming.
A one-day service.
So if they pass today and they're going to do a direct burial tomorrow.
Within 24 hours. Yes, then they don't have to have the embalming. The funeral home can just go take their loved one directly to the cemetery for the burial.
Okay. So I know that's sometimes a cost that people don't understand what it's there for or why it's there. So as we were talking about, well, cremation, what do people really need to know about cremation?
Cremation, like I say, it's not as frowned on today as it was years ago. It's a form of disposition. So if that was your loved one's wishes, it doesn't always have to be a person that can't afford a service. That just might be your family's wishes to be cremated. Some people don't want to be viewed after death. That's their wishes. They just go ahead and do the cremation.
Okay. So, go back a little bit. The most expensive part of any service is the casket. What options do families have when purchasing a casket? I know you can go. Michael Jackson's casket was reportedly $25,000. What options do families have when it comes to buying a casket? You know, within a certain, say they buy a pre-need program, there's a type of range of casket they can get within that, or how does that particularly work?
Yes, I mean, even with cremation, you can rent a casket. You don't have to purchase a casket. You can simply rent a casket. And caskets in the pre-need, you know, of course, if you buy a plan and then 40 years from now, that particular casket may not be available. In that pre-need, it's to provide that casket or better than, you know, better quality. So
Can people purchase a casket from another supplier other than the funeral homes? I know many people, we go to Costco to get eggs, milk, and bread, but we don't also know that Costco sells caskets.
Yes, you can. The funeral home has to give you that option. You don't have to buy the casket from the firm.
Now you can. I was looking online. Costco does them for like $9.50 with shipping included. Can a funeral home refuse to accept a casket that's purchased elsewhere?
We can't refuse. No, we can't refuse. I mean, we can inspect it, and but we cannot refuse. No.
Can they charge you a handling fee if you want to purchase a casket? We'll say, well, it didn't come from us. Can they charge you a handling fee for getting a casket? Otherwise, say, well, we've got to get it in. We've got to inspect it, an inspection fee, something like that.
No, and what families don't understand is they can, if they... You know, the $9.95 that they spend at Costco, if they just simply talk to the funeral director and express their wishes, it's caskets out there for that. You know, you don't have to buy that $3,000 casket. It's more economical caskets that the funeral director can lead you to.
And I know some of them, you've seen them where they're sealed and all these different things, but the body is... The remains are going to deteriorate over time. So regardless of if you spent $12,000 or $2,000, it's the purpose of the casket is just to hold your loved one, correct? Or is it?
Well, and that's the thing. You have gasketed and non-gasketed. Of course, the gasketed creates a seal to keep the outside elements from getting on the inside. And it's to each family's own desire. I mean, it's just a mental ease of what you want for your loved one, how the mental ease, just knowing that you've done everything you can possible for your loved one, then, you know, those are the ones that get the gasketed casket with the vaults just for that mental ease.
I know the other most important part of the ceremony is purchasing the plot, and I know you, from looking at your bio, you did some work with that. What can families expect when having to go purchase a plot for the loved one?
The plot. Well, when choosing a cemetery, you have to think of not only do you have to purchase the plot, but you also have the expense of the opening and closing. And some cemeteries require outer burial containers, meaning the minimum of a two-piece concrete box or vault. So you have to think of, you know, which cemetery requirements, and, you know, that could get expensive depending on which cemetery you choose.
What is the purpose of the vault?
The vault, it basically protects the casket. It's just another form of protection for your loved one.
I know when my grandfather passed and I was 12 and he was put in the Highland, they did a it was like a total lead vault, and it was shaped about the size of the coffin. And now we've progressed to, I guess it's a lot cheaper just to use concrete vaults. And I've been in Leavenworth when I was in the military, and we did some funerals, and all the vaults there are strictly concrete. So, yeah, it's definitely, but it can cost that people don't look at that they should be worrying about, because it can cost you a couple $1,000 for that, depending on the type of vault that you choose.
Yeah, when dealing with the vault, yes, as well as the cemetery, you can. Some of those cemetery expenses have been more than the actual funeral, you know, depending, you know, which cemetery you choose. And then not only when you choose a cemetery, some of them require different headstones in different areas. So you have to really do your research. You know, you might want a bench, and you in an area where all you can have is a flat headstone. So you have to do research. Some cemeteries require bronze, which that could be very expensive when dealing with a headstone. So you have to definitely do your research.
I know it's buying a cemetery plot. I learned with my uncle, it's like buying a house. The better the view, the more established, the more prominent area of the cemetery, the more expensive that particular piece of land is going to be. And then if you don't mind living on the outskirts, on the edge, you may spend one-third of what's going to cost you to be for a piece of plot in the primary location, especially if it's near a lake, if it's near, you know, if they have a little lake or if it's near something, then those pieces are going to cost you a little bit more.
Yes.
So this is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. It's their guest or Michael Atkins and Daryl Brooks from Serenity Memorial Chapels. We're talking about funerals. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short station break. And we're back. This is Joseph Jackson, host of Cowtown Conversations. And today we're doing our third segment of our series on wills and beneficiary deeds, life insurance, funerals, and trust. And our guests are Michael Atkins and Daryl Brooks from Serenity Memorial Chapel. So, Daryl, when it comes to pre-need, what do people need to know about a pre-need policy? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Whatever they need to know are the thoughts and concerns that they have within themselves. What it is, what does it cover, how is it administered, what are the guarantees, am I likely to lose any money? So just an explanation of the whole concept of pre-arrangement, and then, of course, the presentation of all the services and merchandise.
So as you talk about pre-need, what is pre-need funeral planning?
Pre-need is as it sounds. It is something that you do prior to the time that you need it. So from the time that basically we're born, but it's certainly from the time that we are responsible for ourselves, this is an item that one must think about. Unfortunately, the inevitability is that we will transition. It is also incumbent upon us to be responsible for our lives. The transitioning is a part of life. So just as you would plan for anything else, automobiles have car insurance, homeowners, car insurance, fire insurance, you need something that will ensure that you will have the funds necessary for you to make the decision that you wish to make about your disposition.
You said something earlier when we were talking off air about what pre-need does allows you to lock in today's prices for a service that you're going to need in the future. But you said typically the amount doubles over a decade.
We were talking about the escalation of the dollar with regard to funeral services and merchandise. Typically, historically, I should say that it looks as if every decade the price of these goods and services doubles. So what prices you're looking at today, I think we use the term of average of $7,000. 10 years from now, you're going to be looking at things that are going to be approaching $14,000 for the same goods and services.
So what pre-need will allow you to do is you can lock in today's prices for services you're going to need in the future.
For those items that the funeral home controls the cost of, which is generally those items that are in the traditional burials or cremation, those prices are frozen at today's value, and you are also allowed the opportunity to pay for that on a much more convenient basis through installments, as opposed to during the at-need arrangements where money has to be paid now.
I know one of the things that my parents have did is they bought a pre-need policy, and when I had a sister unexpectedly pass away about 18 months ago, she had a pre-need policy, and then on top of that, if you're not done paying for it, I know in some cases you can have an insurance policy on the pre-need policy that will allow it to be paid off in that situation if you so choose.
Most products on today's market and the ones that we offer give you the ability to have the balance waived after a certain period of membership. Under any circumstance, should you be hit or die of an accident as opposed to some illness, then you're generally 100% covered. So you don't have to worry about paying the balance.
So what are some of the benefits that you see in a family purchasing a pre-need policy?
Well, primarily it provides the relief of the financial and emotional burdens of the family. And as Mike said earlier, it also gives you the comfort of knowing that you have instructed those that will be responsible on the things that you would like to have or not like to have. You have that in writing, and not to belabor the point, but even if it got to where you there's some legal issue, it also gives the courts an idea as to what you want to do. So along with a will, it helps for you helps you accomplish all the things that you, you think that you need or want.
Are there any negatives or any negatives to purchasing a pre-need policy that people should really think about? You know, but we all know we're all going to transition. But it seems like purchasing a pre-need policy takes the stress off your loved ones. But are any other things we should be worried about when we purchase a pre-need policy? Does it be need to be from a reputable from a reputable company? You know, that's one thing that we may buy it, but is that company going to still be in business in 30 years?
Needless to say, just as you do when you purchase anything else, you need to research the individual individuals, the company that, that you're dealing with. That's why there's better business bureaus, and on the insurance side, there's like AM Best. So there are ways to judge how competent and successful a business is. In this industry, however, we are heritage driven. You, as you mentioned earlier, we generally go to those places that our parents went to or people that we know. In today's time, and I'm not sure as to why, but it could be just simply from the fact that we move faster, we can get around better, communications is everywhere, you can find the information. But more people are beginning to shop, to look at other places based on service and money. I mean, you can't escape that, but yeah, they are looking at various institutions to provide those services that used to commonly come from just one or two.
So are there any things that you would recommend that people really look for when they purchase a pre-need policy?
Again, I think they would look to depend on those people that provided them with that sense of comfort and professionalism. Of course, again, we're back to price, how it was presented to them, how much they understand what was presented to them. I think that's the only thing that they can do.
So pre-need essentially allows you to go and establish your wishes, so you take the stress off your family during that time because they know that you wanted this color casket, this type of service, and it makes it easier for them to handle this trying time because your wishes were already put down on paper.
Exactly. When you leave this earth and there's nothing to inform those people as to what you want, they're guessing. And it's a big burden from just an emotional standpoint of view. Of course, they're grieving. There's over 120 questions that must be answered in this whole process of from the time you die to the time the body has been disposed. So that keeps the next of kin very busy. So yes, to have that, then when I come in to make an arrangement, then I know what my loved one wanted. If there's ever any confusion, I have a basis that I can go back to and say, hey, I don't have to worry about what I want. Here's what they wanted. Provide that. That doesn't mean that if they don't like the color of the casket that they can't upgrade it if they wish. But at least they have a starting point as to where the deceased would be comfortable.
So, can you get a pre-need policy to cover your burial, the burial portion of it too, not just the funeral portion, or is that a separate policy?
Well, you can handle that in either fashion. Yes, there are separate policies that are offered by the cemeteries. You also can include those in the pre-need contract with the funeral home. Problem is that those prices wouldn't be guaranteed, which means that if the cemetery were to raise their prices, then the customer would be responsible for the difference. But it can be put in there.
I know so many of our nation's men and women have served in the military, the armed forces, myself being a veteran. How is it when you have a veteran that passes? What things does the family need to bring to the to the funeral home to help with the service?
Well, the VA will provide you with everything you need for the funeral if you go to their installation. If you go to a private cemetery, then the only thing that they're going to be responsible for is the headstone. But a veteran's burial is no different than anyone else's. So in that discussion in the arrangement room, a person like Mike's going to ask the question, do you want him in uniform or her in uniform or regular clothes? So those are the kinds of decisions. You can request a flag, but that comes from the VA as well. So really, there's not a lot of difference. It's just a matter of kind of procedurally how you'd like to go about doing things.
I know one of the important things that people have to ask for is that DD-214.
That's right.
The certificate. And sometimes finding it during that time can be difficult, and that's one of the things that you definitely need. And if you have to send off a one, it may take you, it can take 2 to 3 weeks to get it. So that's one of the things that people may want to, if you have a loved one that has served in the military, get that DD-214 so they can know the category of the service was an honorable, you know, general in their type of discharge. So that would be one thing that I would tell people to definitely make sure that you know exactly what that DD-214 is.
Which is exactly the reason why a responsible person would take a look at their life and say, I know that I'm going to die, and take care of those things, at least start looking into them. The best and easiest way for individuals to do that is to call the funeral home, because we can step you through those issues, point you in the right direction to the Social Security, to the VA, provide phone numbers, contact information. So,
I know a lot of people don't. There is a one-time, if you're over 62 and you're drawing Social Security, there's a one-time death benefit of $255. If you are married, if you are single, then you don't get that death benefit.
That's probably true, but that $255 came about in a time when that was a lot of money.
And now it's not.
Now it's not. And I usually don't get into that with many individuals. I can help them, but most people don't qualify for that. So,
what documents does a family need to bring to the funeral home when a loved one passes?
Depends on what they're doing. If they're paying for their services via insurance, then we'd need the name of the insurance company, the phone number, contact person. Other than that, just again, your concerns and questions and presence.
So you need to be present, but also, you, like I said, you insurance policy.
If you're going to pay for it.
If you're going to pay for it, a DD-214.
If it's a vet.
If they're a veteran. And if they have any pre-need policy, maybe that information on the pre-need policy.
Yes.
Can a pre-need policy say if they bought a pre-need policy at one funeral home and the family decides they want to change it, can they change that to another funeral home?
Since 2009, yes. They're all transferable. It's a matter of filing the appropriate document. It's called a change of provider form, and it requires simply a signature. But yes, it can. Now, the thing that they may lose is the guaranteed portion of the agreement. Funeral home A guaranteed it at this price, but funeral home B, those costs may be higher. Kind of generally in the same area, they're going to be very close. But in the event that you're going to move from this region to another, say the coast, costs are going to be higher. So the money's yours. Whatever's there, you can take with you. You may have to add if you move into a more expensive living area.
If you have any questions for our guests, give us a call on our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So are there type of pre-need policies that a person could buy that doesn't lock them into any funeral home or provider, that they can put together everything with the exception of the provider?
Well, they would not be called technically a pre-need. That's all governed by the state of Missouri. There has to be a seller and a provider.
Okay.
However, there are other financial instruments that you can store money for that purpose and call them whatever you like, but annuities, trusts.
But as you also, something you were saying earlier, people used to pass away and they would use the life insurance policy as a way to pay for that person's.
We were discussing the insurance versus a pre-need.
Correct.
My comment was that they work well together. Primarily, life insurance was designed to replace the income that's lost from the death. generally there are survivors, there's a household, so that money is going to be needed to have the lights on. Refrigerators are going to break, so you're going to have some repair bill rather than putting it in the ground, so to speak. Prearrangement fixes that cost, and just as any other businessman would do, if they could fix the cost of their operation, they'd do it. You have taken care of that portion. So all of that money that's available from the life insurance policy can now be used, educate your children, keep your spouse from having to lower their standard of living. So it provides for more things for the living. Give it to your church. Some people believe that it's better to pass that along to anyone that's living rather than basically put it in the ground.
So, Michael, where is Serenity Memorial Chapel located?
Currently, we're located at 2510 East 72nd Street, right off of 72nd and Prospect, between Prospect and Wabash. But we will be moving here shortly to our new location located at Bannister and Troost.
Okay. Is there a website if people want to get more information about Serenity, some of your plans, some of your pricing? Do you have a website?
I do have a website. I don't like to put a lot of prices on it because people tend to try to add things up. So what I like for them to do is kind of look at the website and then just give us a call. But yes, SerenityMemorialKC.com.
And a phone number where they can give a call if they want to sit down and maybe discuss a pre-need policy or other types of situations. Is what's the phone number for Serenity Memorial Chapel?
That's 816-599-2939.
Again, repeat that for them.
That's 816-599-2939.
So it's definitely. So are there any things that we should look at as loved ones for either a funeral or a pre-need that we haven't talked about today?
I think we hit on everything. One of the key things about pre-need is that it is transferable. A lot of times people think just because they went to Chapel A and took it out that they can't switch it to Chapel D. And so you just need to, you know, while you can, just go talk to the firm that you would like to transfer to and make sure, talk to them and make sure that it's understanding of what's needed, if there's any additional dollars once the death occurs, or if they will just honor it as is.
I know one of the things we haven't talked about is when you have a loved one cremated, can those ashes be spread anywhere?
Legally, no.
I know if it's a private property, you have to get the permission of the property owner in order to spread those ashes on that private property. And I know sometimes people have had one of their remains spread over somebody else's grave. And in that situation, you have to get the funeral home to approve that, well, the cemetery to approve that. And then sometimes that's usually a no. I know some of them have scattering areas where you can scatter, but that still comes at an additional cost.
Yeah, they have the scatter gardens and different things. So, yeah, I hear a lot of families want different things done with their cremated remains.
And I know I've read stories. You may be the biggest Chiefs fan, and you may always want to be present every game, but you can't scatter your ashes at Arrowhead or at Royal Stadium. You can get a Royals coffin or a Chiefs coffin, but you can't scatter your ashes at the stadium. That's, even though it's paid for with public tax dollars, those are private places, and you have to get the permission of whoever owns off Kauffman and Arrowhead Stadium in order to do that. So I don't think the Chiefs would want that there. I think there's enough legends that Arrowhead was done on an old Indian gravesite that people wouldn't want to add that. When it comes to spreading ashes at sea, any type of remains can be spread, but they have to be 3 nautical miles from land, and the water has to be a minimum of 600 feet deep, and only biodegradable urns can be used. But you also must report the burial to the EPA within 30 days. Pet remains, on the other hand, cannot be spread at sea without a special permit. And that seems odd. Why would you need a special permit for pets but not for a person?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
So, yeah, that's one of those things that people have to look at. So, if you know, we, in today's society, we're now burying pets and we're doing different things. So, are there different funeral homes that offer those for pets? Is that something that you could come to Serenity for if you wanted to have do your pet?
No, we haven't ventured over into the pets as of yet, but that is on our future horizons. I'm a pet lover myself, so I have a love for that as well. And my dog is coming up on age, so I'm thinking of some different things now. But yes, Serenity in the future will definitely offer some pet services.
Okay. So that's definitely something people have to, something you don't think about, that, you know, your pet passes, what do you do with the body of your pet? So if a family is really in a situation and they don't have any money and they can't afford a cremation, can they donate their body to science?
They can donate their body to science. It's a process. It's a process, so they still need to get some things in order to see if they even meet the qualifications for the body donor program.
So there's, from talking with you, earlier on studio, there's always an option that people should really, if they may not feel they may not have the money, they can at least come to the funeral home and find out what their options are at this point.
Yes. I mean, it's been situations where I've dealt with families that didn't have an absolute dollar. When they came into the funeral home, I was able to steer them to a organization that was able to help them with that cremation, so they didn't have to come out of funds. So definitely get in touch with one of the local funeral homes, so they can guide you to what's needed.
Okay. So it's just one of those things where we're all going to transition. As we age, we have to ensure that we have a plan that reduces stress on our families and friends, and we want to make sure that our loved ones are taken care of. So are there anything else that you would like to mention as we close here on questions about funerals, or something that somebody may want to ask?
Nothing I can think of, but just keep us in mind, Serenity Memorial Chapel.
And what's that address again and that phone number?
2510 East 72nd Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64132. And the phone number is 816-599-2939.
Well, we had a caller, but we lost a caller. So we never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. And we're going to try again. Hold on. We've got a caller again. Hold on 1 second. Yes, caller, are you there? Can you briefly state your question for Daryl or
Hi.
Michael? Yes.
Hi. I just want to say thanks for having this conversation. I went through this a couple of years ago. Actually, it's been a lot of years now. But when my grandfather died, it's really important to let people know that you have these pre-need agreements, because my grandmother didn't know, and we went through all the rigmarole of acquiring services in one place, and it was not until afterwards that the funeral director from the other place came by and said, "Why didn't you call me?" Because we had a deal, because he actually knew my grandfather. But I just want to say it's real important to let your loved ones know that you got these arrangements out there.
Thank you so much for that. And that's definitely important to know. So, as you know, you see the importance of now letting your wishes be known. So we never end Cowtown Conversations without a Community Minute. On Saturday, September 15th, from 9 to 10 a.m., 9 to 10:30 a.m., there'll be a work session on the proposed Eastside Ordinance 170962. The meeting will be held in room 121 at the Robert J. Mohart Center, located at 3200 Wayne in Kansas City, Missouri. We know this summer was a tremendously hot one, and KCP&L is offering a four-month program to help people pay off high summer cooling bills. To participate, call customer service at 816-471-5275 or at 1-888-471-5275. The next election will be November the 6th, 2018. The last day to register in Missouri is October the 10th, 2018. Your voice is your vote. Let your voice be heard on November the 16th. Join us next Thursday in our final installment of this series as we discuss trust with Donna C. Watson, Juris Doctor, Trust Administrator for Country Club Trust Company. For Cowtown Conversations, this has been your host, Joseph Jackson. Stay safe, have a great day, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.